You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
6:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. Hopefully your day is off to a great start. Already a little sunshine peeking out, which is good news for a lot of us. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Always happy to hear from you throughout the morning. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Have you closed the blinds yet so you are not blinded at some point?
We just left them from earlier this week. We just left them where they were at, so hopefully we're good to go this morning.
We don't want your retinas burned out at some point during the show again. That would be horrifying.
There's a lot of glass in our studio. There's also a lot of glass in downtown Madison. So there's a lot of reflection that happens when the sun comes out. Isn't there, Parker?
Horrible place to be doing a show during severe weather. I was genuinely very concerned about Dom the other night.
They made
it through. True. At night, have the windows been blown out?
No.
Never?
No.
That's good.
No, we've always made it through. That's right. We've always made it through safely, so that's the good news.
But we really should get like some kind of curtains or something.
All of a sudden, Parker's concerned, Brian.
I mean, I'm
get
thinking
some storm
about
curtains. Yeah, or just throw some cardboard up there, Parker.
I mean, hey,
class up the joint. We'll class it up.
We gotta hunker boxes down, guys.
Wow. All right. Well, it's really just you and Dom in there, and
right,
Jamie,
I mean,
in the morning. So
true. So really.
So what are you?
And you're
expendable.
Go to
we're
the
expendable.
Can't you go to that inside? Those of you who are not familiar, which most people are not, there's another studio in there that has no windows.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You can go sit in the bunker.
That's true.
It is like a studio bunker. That's essentially what it is.
And all the big equipment that runs the network is in a bunker, too.
That's right. There's a reason the building is designed as it is. In fact, our headquarters.
Panicky Parker.
I'm going to get blown away.
In fact, our headquarters
are
an old bank headquarters. So that's why you've got a lot of inside walls in here. So little inside information if you ever want to visit us at our headquarters in downtown Madison.
I'm having an issue that I'm hoping some people can give me advice on.
Okay.
Because I have reached a point where a lot of people who have elderly parents get to this point, and I'm hoping people could be as helpful with this as they were with Frank's bachelor party conundrum last week. When you were gone, Frank used the show, Jamie, as a pulpit for his own needs.
Okay.
And got a lot of great suggestions from folks about where some specific places to host a bachelor party in Wisconsin. So he is he got really good advice. If you get to a certain age, pardon me, and your parents are a certain age, you kind of take over the role as caregiver. And I'm kind of at that point with my mom where now we've been told by assisted living that she has to move into a long-term nursing facility.
Sure.
I've never done this before, obviously. If you have moved your parents into a nursing home, what did you look for when you were going there? You know, she doesn't have, like, skilled medical needs. She doesn't have feeding tubes or oxygen or any of that kind of stuff. So this is the newest project that consumes I have either this show that I'm working on or I'm trying to figure out nursing homes, which is...
That's not,
it's like, oh, my goodness.
You might need
a
weekend off, Brian.
No time off for me. No time off. We got to, and I have a couple, like I found, I went through, just like I did when I was looking for assisted living, I went through and got Medicare grades, and then I got U.S. News and World Report rankings, and so I'm looking and comparing, and I'm trying to keep it within a certain geographic area, of course.
Because, so you can get there quickly.
I'm the one who's here. So it's all very new, I know I'm not the first to go through it. So
has
that's
any
why
of
I'm
that been helpful
help.
As you put some of that together? Is any of that helpful?
Yes. Yes. No. Especially the Medicare one especially alerts you right away if there have been complaints against the facility. So that's gone. Those are gone first.
Sure.
Anything average or below average, I kick out. So then it gets to, and it's surprised they do kind of balance out the U.S. News and World, because they give, you know, their awards and their certifications, mm-hmm. and then because I stay away from like Yelp reviews.
Right.
Yelp is always disgruntled, whether it's restaurants
right.
or nursing homes.
Anything.
People are disgruntled about something.
It's always the people who are upset or feel like they got wronged, bad service, whatever it might be,
right.
whatever situation. Yes, totally
agree.
Well,
it's amazing, right? You go to a restaurant and you have a great time. It's good. The food's terrific.
Right.
The service is great. And then you look at Yelp and they have 73 one-star reviews. How could this possibly be?
And it's usually stupid stuff, like the server didn't bring me enough biscuits, or the server
right.
didn't give me water when I needed it. Okay, well, maybe it was a really busy time that you were in there. Maybe you should just be... I get it. You're
don't
there, you're paying
so dehydrated.
For it.
Don't go in so dehydrated. You'll
right.
get it. You'll
I get
get
it.
Your water.
You're paying for it, but at the same time, you know what? Our service industry, they don't exactly have it easy. So I take right. some of those reviews
or
with
I had
a grain
to wait.
Of salt. Right.
Or like you the other night, it would have been... But you got in there in time. I went there 3 minutes before the
right.
kitchen closed, and they didn't have everything I wanted.
That's on me. That's totally yes. on me at that
right.
point. Or I always love the ones. I went in on a Friday night at 6 p.m., and I had a 45-minute wait. Really? You don't say.
Yeah. No reservation? You just had to wait? Shocking.
Wow.
Shocking. So, yeah, so that's what I'm doing the same thing, but with a place
with
that
nursing
I have to
homes.
Put my mom to live in. It's like, oh, boy. And then how do you have that conversation
right.
with her? It's the whole thing. Because I am not, going back to Magnum Force and a man's got to know his limitations. I know I am a good problem solver, but
sure.
I am not the greatest caretaker. You know, I'm empathetic.
Yep.
I'm like a lot of people, I want to solve the problem.
Right.
And some problems you cannot solve. And that's the frustrating part. It's not, oh, I'm frustrated because I have to take care of somebody. It's frustrating
right.
because I can't help enough. I can't
right.
get the job done.
And I think in this particular case, it becomes, it's really hard, especially if you have a parent who, because let's be realistic, especially when they get to people get to a certain age, sometimes the body gives out long before the brain does, right? And when they're still sharp enough to be able to make those decisions and be involved in those conversations, it makes it doubly hard because they feel like, at least in cases we've had in our family, it always, to that person, always felt like you were trying to take things away from them and
oh, yeah.
you didn't trust them and their ability. And that's not what it is. You want them to be safe, right? You want them to
of
be
course,
cared
yeah.
for, and it has nothing to do with what we think their abilities are. It has everything to do with what their body is allowing them to do at this particular moment. And that's
yeah,
where it becomes really difficult.
That's the hard part. And then, you know, the cognitive ability, everything is sliding.
Mm-hmm.
Over 89, you know,
sure.
things happen. And boy, but it does make you think about your own aging,
it does.
Doesn't it?
Yes, yes, yes.
Parker, I want you to promise you're going to old yeller me. That's right. You got, I want you on record. I want somebody to just
whoa.
Get to that point. Take me out to the shed, Parker. I'm good with it.
But it is a hard
no.
conversation, right? And then to think
yeah.
of it in your own terms of your own life, it's a conversation Corey and I actually have often because we're in our late 40s. We have no plans. We have absolutely no plans of what's going to happen to us. And we have two boys who at some point are probably going to have to make decisions for us. And I've seen their empathy. I don't even want to know
no.
what's going to happen to us if they have to make decisions for us. But, you know, and then you toss in the fact that in where we're at right now, facilities are not... We don't have a plethora of them really anywhere
right.
for patients like your mom. We don't have a plethora of doctors. The cost for families is so astronomical.
It's unbelievable.
Then you have to start making choices of, do you want to essentially take the care that might be better here with a little better review, but at the same time, it's really, really spendy and nobody wants to be put into that situation when you're talking
yeah.
about a loved one, right? You don't want to be there. It's
right, and
it's
some,
an unfortunate
you know,
circle.
And some, a lot of people can't take somebody into their house, especially when they have advanced needs.
Right.
But yeah, I am so grateful that my mom and dad went into education, because back in the day, they got good pensions.
Sure.
And that's, and my mom still gets my dad's pension from the board, too. So I'm like, man, I should have thought of Parker. There's still time.
There's still time.
There's still time for you. Save yourself.
I could get out of here. I could teach at a school.
Do companies, do educators or companies still do pensions like that, though, in 2026?
Yeah, the teachers, at least Illinois teachers do. That's why people complain that they don't pay Social Security.
Sure.
But they paid into their pensions, so they get their pensions.
Because I know that that's a big contentious point for a lot of government employees, because those pensions are starting to shrink smaller and smaller. It's part of the reason why some of our government entities, United States Postal Service, is having financial issues. So I know there's a lot of companies, you know, because at one point in time, you got your pen, your gold watch, you retired, you got your pension. That's what people lived for, right? Now, in 2026, you're like, all right, we don't have to pay this person anymore. They're off the payroll. Now we can take those, we can take that salary and divide it among three different people, because that's where we're at in the economy.
Well, that's where all supposed, everybody, it's amazing now, everybody is supposed to be a financial advisor.
Right.
Of their own future.
Right.
Whereas back in the day, like you said, you put in 30, 40 years at a company. You retired, you got a pension, and that's how the system was. Now it's like, if you don't start planning when you're 24, it's your first job, and setting up all sorts of, you're late, Parker.
God, yeah, you're really freaking
There's
me out.
There's a refrigerator box in your future.
God, between the windows and now this, this is a horrible morning.
I don't know
morning.
How you even get out of bed in the morning. No, you must be.
I'm in shambles.
Nothing that's going to save you. That's horrifying. It's so sad, Parker. But it's amazing. It's amazing how things change and just everybody's life evolves. And again, my life is not unique. That's why I was reaching out. But it's just one of those hurdles you get to. And then I'm like, oh, what's Molly going to do with me?
Right. I think about those things. Well, I think about those things all the time. And then the fact that my dad passed away almost 20 years ago, it will be in July. My mom has been on her own ever since. And, you know, I've talked about the situation with my mom. She has congestive heart failure. Yeah. So we're constantly worried about her medical needs, her medicines. She lives on a fixed income, which is essentially my dad's Social Security, which isn't a lot and pretty much all goes to rent and utilities. And there's not always a lot of room left at the end of the day for all of the medicine she needs, and yes, she has health care, but we know how that's changed over the course of the last few months/years. And then you also, by the way, have to have some food in there too. And so I understand this circle quite well, because we go through it ourselves very, very frequently. And my mom is one of those people, I don't know how your mom is, but my mom is one of those people where she'll basically be completely out of money and she'll call and say, I don't know what to do, but I didn't want to bother you. I just know how busy you are. No. See, you should have bothered me, because we could have handled
it. Especially when it, thankfully, one of my other brothers handles all the financials.
Oh, you're lucky.
Well, sure. when we come back, you know who's not lucky? Us in the United States, because the Supreme Court has basically rolled back our civil rights. We'll talk about that and so much more. It's Daybreak, and this is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. It is 22 minutes after 6, very early on this Thursday morning. And I'm telling you, Brian, I'm feeling every bit of the earliness today. By this point of the week, I start feeling it a little bit more. And then tomorrow, I'll have a little bit more pep in my step, because who doesn't on a Friday? But we're here. We're going to muddle through today.
We are
today.
Here. We'll make it. It is, and it does, you know, the old hump day term never really, it's really hitting since we started this show, where once Wednesday is done, I'm like, okay.
Oof,
but then the last few
there.
Weeks, I've been very confused after the Thursday show, and I'm like, oh, we're done. Like,
I know.
No, you still have to work
one
tomorrow.
More, one more. It's wishful thinking. That's wishful thinking. Yeah. That's what that
it
is.
It could be.
We all get there with our
so,
jobs.
What are your feelings about the Supreme Court ruling yesterday, cutting, basically killing the Voters, Right Act, Voters Rights Act, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Jamie, we joke here about gerrymandering being one of your favorite things, and
yeah.
It's not the gerrymandering is not your favorite
no.
thing, but you do like talking about it and dissecting it, and we saw this battle start a couple months ago when
yeah.
Donald Trump was telling states they need to redraw their maps, and Texas redrew their map, and then California threatened to redraw their map. And here in Wisconsin, we've been dealing with this issue for a long time about gerrymandering mm-hmm. and redistricting and all of this. I never thought I would see the Supreme Court overturn the Voters' Rights Act, which basically kills the hope of a lot of voters, especially in southern states
yeah.
where gerrymandering against even one district
mm-hmm.
has been going on for decades.
Yes. And for anybody who wants to stay with us throughout the morning or can, we're going to actually have an expert join us at 7:30, and we're going to dive into this a little bit more with him, get a little history on this as well. But you're right. I mean, it feels very much like... We've talked about this with the Supreme Court, right? It feels like when they do one thing correctly, they're gearing us up for something even bigger that they're preparing to undo. We've seen mm-hmm. this throughout the Trump administration. We saw this even during Joe Biden's term, where it felt like every time they give us a little win, that means there's something much bigger coming down the pike. And this is one of those things because essentially what happened is they tossed out Louisiana's long contested congressional map as an unconstitutional gerrymander. And this is a decision, as you rightfully pointed out, Brian, that could have implication for years, not to mention the fact in the midterm elections coming up in just a few months. Now, for Louisiana, this decision scraps the map that was drawn in early 2024 and added a second Black and Democratic lawmaker to the state's overwhelming Republican delegation.
And just a little Louisiana history. Over a third of their voters are mm-hmm. African American.
Yes.
It might even be more than that. But it is.
Yes.
So to have two representatives doesn't seem like that many.
No, it really doesn't. And, of course, the Supreme Court's decision comes in the middle of a much broader and, as a lot of us know, a very highly unusual mid-decade redistricting, because these Republican states this has been a war against voting. And we've mm-hmm. seen this play out all across the country. And I think when you look at what happened yesterday, the timing is probably the most suspect thing to me in all of this, because it wasn't random. This wasn't done randomly by any means. This was essentially done at the time it was to make sure that the Republican Party has an upper leg, especially in large portions of this country in the midterm elections, because the one thing that they do not want to have happen is people to vote and be able to have their vote counted in a fair way. That has been an ongoing battle with this party.
Yes, that part is true. I have been reading a lot of dissertations. Now, we know Florida had a redrawn map mm-hmm. ready to roll, and as soon as this decision came down, they passed that. So Florida is picking up 4 seats. Louisiana, they said it's probably too late to get mm-hmm. a new map done before the midterms, and that's the case in most places, because there was a March 10th deadline to have all that stuff in. So for the midterms, other than in Florida, things may stay the same. Now, once the presidential election comes around or
yeah.
later elections come around, that's when we're really going to see the effects of this. But my question, and we'll talk to our expert later, is where does this end?
Right.
Because, all right, you start seeing it across the South. And again, they're not taking away a lot of representatives. It's not like there's a lot of representatives from the South anyway, but they're going to try to get rid of all of them.
Yes.
They're looking at Tennessee. They have one one Democratic district in Tennessee. There's already talk about that trying to be redistricted. But then does California do blue states then? Does this just become a nuclear escalation of trying to redistrict? And it changes every time there's...
This is why gerrymandering is a pet project of mine, because, and why I hate it so much, because of exactly what we're talking about. And back to your point, one of the things that I think worries me the most is when we look at the midterms, we've seen several of these Republican states who have Republican governors, state houses, state senates, state Supreme Courts, all under Republican control. And when you have that, the thing that worries me the most is how quickly will they be able to push something through if they really, really want it to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's what terrifies me about November, because there's a part of me that believes some of these Republican states have had these plans drawn up in the background, just hoping, just waiting for this moment in time. And that's what I think terrifies me about how we're going to disenfranchise so many voters potentially across the country because of this.
Are you looking to adopt a beagle? Well, there's going to be a lot coming to rescue centers near you in the near future. We'll talk about that and more. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson, 629. You are listening to the Civic Media Network.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
We hope that your morning is going well so far. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're listening in Madison today on WMDX or in Wausau on WXCO or in La Crosse on WLCX, we're glad that you decided to join us on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. If you want to get involved, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you call in, be nice to Parker. He'll be answering the phone.
He's
very nervous. He's got things. He's living
in a box, covering the windows today.
Yeah. And not because he thinks aliens are coming. He just is. He's nervous. He's the more he listens to us, the more he
gets nervous.
Fears the future.
That's right.
The more I learn about the future, the more worried I get, Brian.
This is probably
good.
A good
you
tactic.
You should be worried about the future.
This is a good tactic. Go with that. Go with your
scared
gut, partner.
Scared straight, brother. Oh, you know, be prepared like a Boy Scout. Hey, are you, Parker, maybe a beagle would help you. Maybe a dog to comfort your anxiety.
Yes, emotional puppy.
I've got one, but sure, what's two? Yeah, why not?
Sure.
They can entertain each other.
Yeah.
They can. They keep each other company. The dogs don't get depressed. That's what
so
I was told
energy.
Years ago.
How is that going for you, Brian? With the two dogs?
We've always had two dogs. Okay. Well, since we had the first one, then we had to get the second one because my wife told me the dogs needed company. So now we've always had two dogs.
Sure.
And they don't care about each other. There's a nice level of dog detente. They coexist nicely. They're both seniors at this point. The one will just look at me like, why is she making that noise?
I get it totally where she's coming from. I think the same thing
about
other people.
I say the
people,
same thing.
So.
I don't know why anybody's making this noise. I would just stop. Well, if you are looking for a beagle to adopt, this may be a good time to start putting the feelers out, because Ridgeland Farms, you've been following this saga. We've been talking about this saga here in Madison. The beagle facility that, you know, raises them for experiments and medical treatments and things, they've reached an agreement to sell a substantial majority of their beagles to rescue organizations instead of research buyers. Hopefully that will make some of the people who were protesting happy that would, you know, okay. Now the problem is they're going to sell about 1,000 to 1,500 dogs out of about the 200 that they have.
2,000, yes.
2,000. What did I say?
200? 200, yep.
Oh, well, then you can't sell 1,500 dogs if you only have 200.
I wanted to make sure the math was mathing for everybody this morning.
Yeah, the math ain't mathing. You're correct. 2,000.
The math ain't mathing.
Thank you.
No, it's not. Listen, I've never claimed to be a mathematician. So about 1,000 dogs are expected to go right to rescue care. The others will be sent to shelters across the country. Now you have to worry. Okay, you've got these 1,000, 1,500 dogs. You got to get them to shelters that are no kill. You got to hope they get adopted. There's, you know, there's a lot of dogs in these shelters. And I'm not saying that one is preferable to another. I'm like, okay, you got your first step. You did well getting that first step realized. Now what are we going to do?
And the deal actually involves the Big Dog Ranch Rescue and Center for a Humane Economy. Now, here's a fun little tidbit of information that I found while doing a little research. Laura Trump, the president's daughter-in-law, is actually a director of the Big Dog Ranch Rescue. I had no idea. She is. Yes. The actual owner who and founder of Big Dog Ranch Rescue. I believe there might be. It sounds like maybe this is a rescue that has several across the country in different locations, is from Florida. And Laura Trump is basically a member of the board of directors for which I find fascinating. She's obviously
I hope
an
this
animal
is
lover.
Actually for dogs then, and not just for what's up, big dog. And it's like finance bros who need a place to crash after they lost all their money.
I found that too, as I was doing a little reading last night about all of this. I found that just a fascinating little tidbit of information that I was like, huh, okay. I would have never connected those things, but here we are.
And I'm sure they're a fine organization.
Sure.
Personally, I hear that and I'm like, oh, you got to send them somewhere.
I know.
Yeah, send these dogs somewhere else.
And the Big Dog Ranch is going to have a press conference later today in Madison to talk about this because, to your point, Brian, about 1,000 of those dogs are going to go directly to rescue care. Some others will be sent to partner shelters across the country. But one of the things that the ranch has already talked about is the rehabilitation process that's going to go into these dogs. They don't know how to be dogs. They literally don't know how to walk on anything but a wired kennel, and they've never been a lot of times had human touch other than when people have been running experiments on them. They haven't been vetted in any way, shape, or form, so they're going to have to go through the entire vetting process. Now, I also found it interesting that the facility actually is set to shut down their breeding operations on July 1st, and that comes after a legal settlement in 2025 that allowed the facility to avoid prosecution if it gives up its Wisconsin license. But despite that closure, the facility is still legally allowed to operate and sell dogs to research labs and until that July 1st deadline. So there's still which is why the assumption is that they're going to keep a few hundred of those dogs available because they still will be able to operate as a research facility until July 1st.
Well, we're at May, so I know it's
coming
not,
quickly,
it's not ideal. It's 8 weeks.
It is.
And there's a hard deadline. So, you know, if this is one of the movements that you've been involved in protesting, you've been you're passionate about it, there's progress.
Yeah.
And it does have an end. So
it's one of those
bright side, right?
Right. And it's one of those unfortunate situations, and we've talked about this before on the air. You know, this is one of those things where dozens of protesters broke into a private entity and there's been legal action against them, which then they sued the Dane County Sheriff's Department because they're saying that action that Dane County took was too aggressive. And then we get, I know you broke into a private facility. I mean, there's still laws and still rules,
yes,
right?
You still
have
to follow
law. I
understand how passionate you are about this cause, but you do have to obey the law.
It's a
weird
thing.
Whether you like it or not, from all reporting, Ridgeland was obeying the law. Now you don't have to like what they're doing.
Right.
That's fine. You can protest what they're doing. That's fine. Once you break the law, though, that's sorry.
Yeah.
You know.
It's going to be fascinating to see if with this July 1st deadline coming up, because we know that there was protest just as late March. There was some more again over this past weekend, to the point where then protesters ended up sitting in front of Tony Evers' office asking him to do something. They are doing something, even if the timeline isn't moving as fast as you would like. And again, I totally understand. I've been involved in the rehabilitation of beagles coming out of research centers. It is not always pretty. I'll just be honest. It is so much work and it is so hard. And if you are a dog lover, to see an animal come to you be wrapped in a blanket, even puppies, older dogs, and to see them wrapped in a blanket and shivering and so afraid and just this look of dejection in their faces. That is, if you're an animal lover, that is one of the most heartbreaking things you can possibly go through. And the fact that they've never had human attention, and when you get one of these dogs in your arms, which I've had, and they're wrapped in a blanket, and you want to let them know it's okay, for them to stiffen up in your arms because they've never felt that type of affection, it is heartbreaking. So I understand that you want this timeline sped up, but they're doing what they can.
Nothing goes fast.
No,
especially when it comes to any sort of legal movement. Anytime it comes to some sort of certifications or changing policies, it takes a while. But eight weeks. That's pretty quick. I mean, that's.
I always tell friends who will say it's not moving fast enough. Well, yes, it's not an episode of Law and Order. It's just not right. Like it's
right.
Actual.
We don't
law.
Solve everything in 45 minutes.
Right. But keep an eye on this one because there is light at the end of the tunnel. We are going to see some of these beagles make their way into shelters, be rehabbed, eventually probably find some really loving homes. And at the end of the day, that's the most that you can hope for, right? I mean,
that's what you've been protesting for. That's what you've been pushing for. Let's change the subject for a minute. This came across.
Yes.
State Senator André Jacques.
Breaking
is not
news.
Yeah, it is breaking. Do we have a breaking news sounder, Parker?
Do we have one somewhere?
Breaking news.
Thank you. That is it.
There we go.
Who says the budget on Daybreak is low? Not me. I've never said it. Are we getting money pumped into this program through corporate? All the time. Can we hear that again just to reset?
Breaking news.
There we go.
All right, there we go. State Senator André Jacques not seeking re-election. He's a new Franken Republican. He says he is not running for another term. Have you been keeping a tally board, Jamie, of how many Republicans in Wisconsin have decided for one reason or another, starting at the top with Robin Voss, are not seeking re-election?
I will have to do a full tally. I don't have it.
I think we're up to five or six.
Five or six. And it depends if you're looking at what house, because some houses have stepped back. Members of each house are missing certain members a little bit more. So I can do a quick tally during the commercial break, but that's easy to find. But it's interesting how quickly these resignations are coming right now.
Yeah, he was in, if you're not familiar with André Jacques, he spent 8 years in the assembly before being elected to the first district in the state Senate in 2019. So he's been alone. Let me play this game with you. Jamie, is he leaving to spend more time with family? Is he A? Is B, to pursue other interests? Or C, undisclosed?
Oh gosh, I haven't even read all the way down.
I know, that's
so,
one.
Ooh, this is a tough one. I'm going to say to pursue other interests because he's a younger man.
Very good. Okay. He said he'll work with a variety of nonprofits after he leaves office.
All right. I do have the list here of people who have decided to step down at this point besides André Jacques. Obviously, we know Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu are both stepping down. We also have Steve Nass from Whitewater, Rob Hutton from Brookfield, Van Wongard from Racine, Jerry O'Connor from Fond du Lac. We have Rob Brooks, who's also stepping down from Saukville, Kevin Peterson from Waupaca, and also at this point, Rick Gundrum from Slinger. Those are the members of the Assembly or Senate who are stepping down at this point.
So with including André Jacques, that's 10.
All right.
10.
I thought we were getting close to double digits, but I didn't want to say it until I had a full count.
And I didn't want to overshoot because I knew at one point it was 4 and then we had heard a couple more. So.
Yes.
All right, so there's 10, including André Jacques, who just made this announcement this morning. 10.
All right. That is interesting because of fairer maps in the state of Wisconsin, back to that conversation, the seats were already narrowing for Republicans. Democrats were in a good spot to pick up more seats. And so if you're keeping tabs on midterms, everyone, 10 seats up for grabs now. And what I would say, you know, at some point you could probably say some of these were very safe Republican districts. If you watch the results of the Supreme Court race, nothing seemed to be safe based on those results.
Right. Well, we've talked about state senators, we've talked about voters' rights, we've talked about beagles. Why not a flaming dinosaur? That's right. We're going to get into this story. We'll have a little bit of fun just to cleanse the palate for our number one. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It's 6:48 right now, and this is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Fairly solid, better than expected. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 6:52 right now. Thank you for joining us this morning. If you want to be part of our conversation, you can text or call us 1-855-752-4842. That's 1-855-75-CIVIC. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, and as that music will tell you, life finds a way. Unless you're a 60-ton dinosaur in a Kansas theme park. We all know the storms, you got your side hustle, your other business, yeah, must be jumping, because
it's
for the last
so
six,
busy.
7 days,
so busy.
Storms ripping across the country.
Yeah, we have chasers all across the country who have been out. They've seen some, obviously, there's been some moments already this year in Oklahoma that you wish you could take back, and you hate Mother Nature at that moment in time. There's also been some really great storms just in open fields, which is what we do on our side hustle, is what we always hope, some really photogenic storms that don't do any damage to anything.
But. Well, one storm that blew through Derby, Kansas on Saturday night did a lot of damage at the Field Station Dinosaurs theme park. 60-ton animatronic dinosaur was burst into flames because it was struck by lightning.
Yeah.
Yes. Do yourself a favor. If you've ever thought, man, I'd like to take a dinosaur at a barbecue. I'd like to pretend I'm the Fred Flintstone and I'm grilling up a dinosaur. Look for this, because the Derby Fire Department put out the video.
Frightening.
It is really frightening. What's more frightening is just the skeleton just still standing there.
It's very eerie, weird. Mm. Yeah.
So about just before 8:30, the fire department put out a statement. They were called to multiple reports of a lightning strike and a dinosaur on fire. There's a call you do not get
every day.
Ever?
Yeah.
In your career? I'm guessing there's firefighters across this country who've retired after 40 years of service. Never once got the, all engines, we have a dinosaur on fire.
Hopefully.
It was consumed with heavy fire. It's a three-story dinosaur. They were able to contain the blaze and keep it from spreading to other dinosaurs and the rest of the park. The dinosaur is the park's largest herbivore in the early Cretaceous period, with a total length of roughly 100 feet and weighing nearly 60 tons.
What I love is what a good sense of humor the fire department had about this, because on their Facebook page, they said that this is the first dinosaur fire Derby has experienced in 65 million years. So in the heart of all of this, I'm glad that somebody has a sense of humor, but if you watch the video, you almost expect this moment, if you're a Jurassic Park fan, of Jeff Goldblum just walking out of the smoke and parting the ways of it, because the video is crazy.
I kept waiting for the flaming dinosaur to just start moving. Right? This is it was built on an ancient burial ground somewhere in Kansas, and now the spirits will come and they will animate the dinosaur, and this flaming dinosaur will take out the entire town of Derby.
It is a weirdly crazy, fascinating video. If you have a few minutes before you start your work day today, just do a quick search for Derby, Kansas dinosaur, and you'll see all sorts of things.
I don't know where Derby is in Kansas. I don't know what we were in the break. We were trying to figure out what there was to do in Kansas, and
a lot
Jamie
of rocks.
Found a list. It's mostly hiking and rocks.
Yeah, there's a lot of rocks.
There's no Wizard of Oz thing there?
Well, actually, a lot of those Wizard of Oz, interestingly enough, I'm sure there are some in Kansas. I've never been. Some of the biggest Wizard of Oz places that you can visit, a lot of them are in Oklahoma, because I think people equate that to tornadoes more, which I think is also fascinating.
Kansas is where Dorothy was.
Exactly.
Kansas, she said, was the name of the star.
I'm trying to get, I'm on a map here looking to see. So Derby, Kansas, let's see. Oh, boy. It is basically, it would be north and a little west of Tulsa. That would be the closest major town next to it.
Right.
And just south, I guess, actually, there we go. Zooming in on my map as it comes into focus, just south of Wichita. So it's kind of situated in that area. But really,
I lived in Wichita for a while.
I
was a lineman for the county.
Good Glenn Campbell. what I love is I've been to Kansas several times. Obviously, you know, storm chasing, we end up there frequently. It's been a hot second since I've been to Kansas, and it's a beautiful state if you love prairie. There's really not much to do
if you love prairie. It's a beautiful state if you love prairie and wide open
space.
Weird. I've been to Wichita a number of times and Topeka, but...
It's always weird to me, though, growing up in South Dakota, that landscape has never appealed to me because it's what I grew up with. I saw it all the time. I always found it fascinating working at the Corn Palace as a teenager and in early college when people would come from the East Coast who don't have that kind of open land, though, and haven't grown up with it. And they're just like, this is the most beautiful place on earth. And I remember I'd always look around going, really? This is okay. All right, each their own. I'm not gonna tell you what to think is beautiful.
The first time I saw the Badlands, I was like, "This is the coolest thing I've ever seen." Or out in Utah you're on the moon.
Yeah,
it's like this is the greatest because you don't see it all the time.
No.
I still like getting out and seeing.
Oh,
that,
of course.
There's a point where it's like, all right.
Yeah. Badlands.
If I'm seeing it from the driver's seat of my car and I'm flying along, I can appreciate it because I get to drive fast.
Right.
But after a while, it's like,
The Badlands are, I will say that is actually, out of all of the things in South Dakota, the Badlands are actually my favorite part. I really, truly do love the Badlands. I think they're beautiful. I think they're amazing. If you ever get the chance to drive through there, go at sunrise or sunset, simply because the red and the orange of the Badlands picks up the colors of the sunset, and then it almost looks like the entire earth in that section has been like illuminated and with like an orange highlighter. It really is the coolest thing when you get to see it up close. It's beautiful, absolutely phenomenal.
I don't know how I've never asked you this as a South Dakotan. Your thoughts on Waldrug.
Oh, please don't get me started. Please don't. We don't have enough time in this show for you to
not love Waldrug and their 8 billion billboards
and their ice cold water, folks.
Ice cold water. You listen. A guy gets parched in the Badlands.
There's not much between South Dakota to the Black Hills, so I get it.
All right, listen. When we come back, it's hour two. It's headlines and a whole lot more. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.